Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE puts on a darn good Blood Money show. AEW digs in their heels on Friday nights. And did Bound for Glory make any sort of impact? Did you even know it happened last night? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program powered by Great Lakes Beer and coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got your weekly recap and rundown of all there is to know in the world of pro wrestling coming up in the next hour. First up, I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat about the very awkward Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch segment that led to Charlotte being sent home. Then, with WWE presenting Crown Jewel this past Thursday, but us not being able to do an after party, my longtime tag team partner, Dan the Mouth Lebranski, will join me to review the event and see where we go from here in the Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar angle. And yes, Impact did have a pay-per-view last night. It was Bound for Glory, and Bob Kapoor from Slam Wrestling watched it, so he'll join me later in the show to fill us all in on the happenings and how the event could be considered inspiring, dare I say. Plus, a week that was edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. All of that is to come this hour, but if this hour isn't enough, remember, we deliver pro wrestling podcasts each and every day directly to your inbox for only $1 a week. All you have to do is visit us at patreon.com/SNMEradio, and you'll get reviews of Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Dynamite, and Rampage right to your podcatcher each day. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. We'll be right back with my chat with Dave Meltzer, but in the meantime, and the in-between time, let's check in with a word from the devil.
The devil, perched upon the shoulder of one of our brewers, demanded with intensity,
"Brew me a beer with 6 premium malts, 6 varieties of hops, at 66 IBUs and 6.6 ABV.
The fire beneath the kettle bellowed. Dark clouds formed with each addition of West Coast hops and specialty malts. Lightning flashed and thunder clapped. But the clever brewer had devised a plan. As the beer came to be, clouds parted, and pillars of sunshine beamed upon the brewhouse. The young brewer had made certain the beer did not contain all the sixes the devil sought, rendering any evil forces in this beer futile. After all, the devil doesn't brew beer. We do. Devil's Pale Ale 666 from Great Lakes Brewery.
It's devilishly delicious.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, guys, it is a big week in wrestling. There's lots going on in the world of news. So without even a commercial, let's get right into this. It's Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter joining me tonight. And Dave, oh my goodness, what an incredibly busy week that we've had. Now, I know you try to watch everything, but I mean, how do you pick and choose?
You just choose your priorities and you watch in that order and then hope for the best. But yeah, no, I wanted to watch Bound for Glory, and just from my schedule, time just ran out. I couldn't do it. And,
yeah.
Yesterday there was so many shows. I think that I counted 6 shows I needed to watch, and I think that, like, my max is 3.
Three,
you can't do it. And it's coming off a Thursday, which on a Thursday for me, you know, between Crown Jewel and G1 Final, that's a big day.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a sec. But the memes are flying around the internet right now. I just saw one that was pretty clever. It's Charlotte as Medusa dropping the title into the garbage. Memed out, what is going on here? Charlotte and Becky, an awkward segment on SmackDown. Becky looked very angry. Something goes on backstage. Number one, let's go with what exactly happened backstage that you've heard. And now, what's the status of Charlotte? Because I believe she was told to go home.
Yes, she she was sent home. So from what I understand, I mean, the stuff that's come out is basically accurate. It's not like, you know, I've heard anything different. I've asked around and heard the exact same story. So, you know, they had rehearsed a segment where Charlotte was going to hand Becky the belt. She was going to raise her arm with two belts, get the big pop. Charlotte was not happy about that because she thought that it made Becky look, you know, like the bigger star. But she didn't say she wasn't going to do it. And then when the time came, she kind of pulled the belt away and dropped it to make Becky pick it up. So kind of get herself over. And everyone was kind of pissed at that point, especially Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the segment. They went backstage. Becky's yelling at her. And she said it was an accident. And I don't think they accepted that explanation. And they sent her home. What that means going forward, I don't know. You know, the Andrade tweet was very interesting. There's a lot of people very quietly on that women's side that are not happy with Charlotte. And it's not a new thing. I mean, the Nia Jax thing, like, the reality is I watched, and everyone has their right to their opinion, when I watched the Nia Jax-Charlotte thing, I thought that Nia Jax was the one who was kind of unprofessional there. But in the locker room, I know the reaction was, oh, somebody stood up to Charlotte, you know. Like, that is what a lot of the talent is, you know, thinks right now. So it's, you know, there's the feeling, I guess the feeling that Rhea Ripley should be, you know, I mean, but, you know, that's just like Rhea Ripley should be in her spot right now and everything like that. And you know, but there's always going to be some of that anyway. But yeah, as far as what happened, as far as what they do to Charlotte, if anything, I don't know, because I can't see them firing her. She'll go to AEW.
Oh, yeah.
And probably be a big star there and probably help them. Maybe not. You know, there's a chance that maybe she won't. But, no, I mean, she'll go. But I don't, you know, I mean, how much she'll help them remains to be seen. But I think she will. And then, you know, you can suspend her for a certain amount of time. You could do that. You could ice her and just take her off TV until her contract expires. But the problem is that whole SmackDown Women's Division was supposed to be booked around her. So then you've got what you're going to do the division around
Sasha
Banks and yeah. Naomi and Shayna Baszler. I mean, which you can do it. It won't hurt them that much. They're a machine, but I don't know that that's a preferable thing either for them.
You've also got Charlotte. The whole segment was based upon the trading of the belts. So Charlotte's holding that belt right now. And if she's not going to agree to do that segment with Becky, I don't think she's agreeing to come back and lay down to drop that belt.
Yeah, but if she does that, she'll be suspended for sure. And she's making a lot of money. And I don't know that you want to give up that money. I mean, Andrade's probably making a lot of money, too. Certainly more than enough for a couple to survive very well at this stage. But still, Charlotte's got a really big contract. And I don't see her, you know, and especially now, you know, it's like the workload. I mean, it's hard, but it's not like it was 3 years ago, if you know what I mean. It's like there's you're not working as many dates. You're not traveling as much. It's a much more conducive thing, and it's still a lot of money, you know, because she's on a big guarantee, you know. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what decision Vince makes.
Survivor Series is going to be interesting if it's those two in the ring together, but I'm almost betting it's not going to be to avoid this.
They'll be fine by then. I mean, in its own weird way, when you bring that up, it's like people will probably be more intrigued by Survivor Series because of this. But, you know, I don't, you know, it's just like when they did the second Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax match, and it was like, ooh, what's going to happen? It's like they're going to go out there and have a professional wrestling match. And, like, with Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax, it may not even be that good. With Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, it could be very, very good. You know, you never know for sure, but Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch have had some very good matches, and they had one incredible match on that women's pay-per-view a couple of years ago, one of the best women's matches WWE's ever had. So, you know, the chances are they're going to have a good match.
All right, I know you've talked this to death, but we only get to talk once a week. Let's go back to last Friday. What is the end result of WWE and AEW Friday night, SmackDown and Rampage on that same night, and now looks like WWE is not willing to challenge again, and all of a sudden people are praising the bunny and people should acknowledge her?
That's actually a funny one.
It's great.
So You know, the numbers were what the numbers were. WWE had more viewers in that half hour, and AEW won in the demo, which is the more important number. And it was a fight that WWE picked, and that they were very confident they would win based on the fact that the Rampage the week before did a .17, and they knew we're going to beat a .17 easy. We're going to humiliate them going head to head, and it didn't happen. They lost, and that's what happened. Now, as far as the more important story, you know, it's like these people are all caught up on this number and then arguing over what's important and everything. The more important story is what happens on the 29th, which is this Friday, and the decision was made not to do 2.5 hours or 3 hours to go head-to-head. They're going to put Talking Smack in there, which is a sacrificial lamb. Everyone knows Talking Smack will lose heavily. So as far as that goes, you know, the point was made, but the big important point ever since Rampage started was, does WWE do a third hour SmackDown on FS1? And it's like, if they thought that they would win to get revenge for NXT, in a heartbeat, they do it. That's how Vince operates. And I think it's funny whenever I bring that up, oh, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to need $100 million in rights fees. And it's like, I've watched Vince for maneuvers for 37 years, 38 years. And it's like, that is what he does. When they announced Dynamite on TNT, I told everyone, including people in AEW, you know that Vince is putting a show on head-to-head. And they knew it, too, because that's Vince. That's what Vince does. If there's competition, he is going to try to nip it in the bud. If he thought he could beat Rampage on FS1, he would beat Rampage. That's his game. Okay, so this, to me, I mean, you know, time will tell. Maybe the decision will change. But to me, this basically solidifies, I think that this was the test, and this solidifies that they're not going to do a third hour of, because you can't do a third hour on Fox. You can't do that in the United States. But you can do the third hour on FS1, and this solidifies that they will not do that because they're not, after the last fight, they're not going to go in with another losing fight. And I mean, the thing is, and that's the big story.
Yeah.
The big story isn't who won in the demo or who didn't. It's what this teaches us. Yes, they're competitive, okay? What it teaches WWE, no, we can't kill them. And we can't even try because we are probably going to lose. And even if we don't lose, it's going to be close. And close is a win for AEW because then the trades go, oh, there's a fight on Friday night, and what are the results? And it's the C brand because it's SmackDown. So, you know, that's what happened. But, you know, if you want to know how everyone's doing, check the attendances in the same market. That'll tell you how it's doing. And what it is, there's some markets WWE stronger, there's some markets AEW stronger, but this is a very competitive fight, and people who think it's not competitive based on the number of viewers of Raw, it's like, that's a number, but it's competitive because the number of people who buy the show, who buy tickets, and when you compare the interest level of the pay-per-views, it is competitive. WWE is ahead generally for the masses, but it's competitive.
I would just like to publicly thank AEW for doing so well so we don't get a third hour of wrestling on Fridays, because that is not what we need out of WWE right now. Crown Jewel, though, Dave, actually, you know, by removing the pay-per-view from this month, it made Crown Jewel all the more important. My opinion, this was the best Saudi show they've ever had because it was meaningful.
I thought it was one of the best pay-per-views they've done in a long, long time. But yeah, it was by far the best Saudi show, because all the Saudi shows weren't good. And this show, I thought this show was great. The opening match with Edge and Rollins all by itself, to me, that's a thumbs-up show. That match was fantastic. And then you still got Drew McIntyre and Big E and the women's three-way, and even Mansoor and Ali was good, and Bill Goldberg with Bobby Lashley was as good as Bill Goldberg match is going to be at this stage, or any stage of his career for that matter. So, yeah, overall, I thought, I didn't like the finish of the main event. We've seen it too many times. I thought it was, the idea of Heyman throwing in the belt and all that I liked, you know, and who would you throw it to and keeping that mystery. That I liked, but just the super kick and then the belt shot, I just felt... it's going to end like, I was sure Lesnar was kicking out, and then he didn't. It's like, oh, that's a flat ending.
Well, at least the follow-up on SmackDown was pretty great this week. Sure, it took them 40 minutes, but those guys together with Heyman in the mix has been the best thing WWE has going. So plans right now with this so-called suspension after taking out Pierce and splitting his pants on Friday is we don't see Lesnar again till Royal Rumble. Is he scheduled to win and then go after Reigns?
I think there's a good chance of that, but he's advertised for the Royal Rumble, so I presume that's his next one back. Definitely, not, there's no reason for him to be at Survivor Series, so he's off that anyway.
Right.
They could put him on that January 1st pay-per-view in Atlanta, but my gut is that it'll be Rumble.
Yeah. All right. The G1 final. Okay, so Kota Ibushi suffered a dislocated right shoulder during the main event there. Against Okada. So Okada wins by ref stoppage. Obviously, that's flat. I'm curious, though, was this the right guy winning? Was it supposed to be Okada?
Yes, Okada was winning. That is 100%. Okada was winning. Ibushi was going to get the next title shot at Shingo Takagi, which would have been Power Struggle on November 6th, I believe. But that is... that's probably... I don't know... I don't know the diagnosis of how long Ibushi's out. I only know that as of the night, they were redoing the booking, and it was the plan as of that night was Zack Sabre to get the shot and not Ibushi. That can change. You know, I could see Ibushi getting the shot. You know, they got three Wrestle Kingdoms, so this will be the last shot for the year. So I'm presuming it's Takagi and Zack Sabre. And then you got three shots at Wrestle Kingdom, you know, against whoever wins, which I'll presume is Takagi. So you've got Okada's going to have one. Ibushi would probably have one, and the third is, I don't know, but I guess if I'm going to make a guess on number three, it's Jeff Cobb because of him setting that record with 8 straight wins.
Right. Speaking of injuries, back
and
home.
Also, but if restrictions end, it will be Will Ospreay.
I see. Okay. Injury-wise, last night, scary scenario that happened on Dynamite. Lance Archer botching a moonsault, but apparently he's all right and was just very angry about this match not being able to finish the way he wanted, correct?
Correct. Yeah, he got a jammed neck. That was the preliminary. The preliminary stuff was jammed neck, not broken, and no concussion. And he was not knocked out, but he was certainly knocked silly in a way. But you still have to get it checked. There's always a chance it could be worse. The word is that they dodged a bullet. He tucked just enough to essentially not break his neck.
Right.
Because, or what it looked like break his neck, because he was almost, you know, that Brock Lesnar or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the Shooting Star Press, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen, you know, with Yoshitatsu, I think it was a couple of years ago in Japan, and then who was the other one? Starks, I guess, is another one.
Right,
Where you take a head bump, and they tell you, you know, like right away that you don't have a broken neck, you don't have a concussion, you're okay, and then like a week or so later, you know, you go in for a checkup, and it's like, you got a broken neck. So, like I said, like, that's the feeling is they dodged the bullet, but until you're checked out and, you know, completely on x-rays and everything like that, you know, there's always that chance. But it was a scary second, that's for sure.
Let's talk about another medical condition in AEW, not in the ring, but more so with Jim Ross, publicly battling skin cancer now. Geez, I mean, I know Jim Ross is really dedicated to what he does, but this is a 69-year-old man, and he does have to go through radiation. That takes a toll on the human body.
Man, it does. I know people who've gone through it.
Me too. Me too. I mean, how long? Well, I guess, is it just up to JR? You figure he's going to stay on as long as he can?
If JR can go, he'll go.
Man.
And if he can't go, I mean, if he can't travel, then he won't. But it's going to take a lot, especially now, but any time, JR, you know. It's going to take a lot for him not to go because he really, he's got this dutiful, if that's the right word. Like, I don't know how he was raised, but it's like you do your job. You're there and you do your job and you know, no matter what hand is dealt to you. I mean, he went to WrestleMania right after his wife died.
Yeah,
broadcasted a pay-per-view, like, literally right after his mother died. You know, when he's over in England, he did not fly back right away. He did the pay-per-view, then he flew back. So it's like this guy is so dedicated to his job, And, you know, like, if he's off, then you know he's very under the weather. And, you know, I'm just glad. I was glad to see him. He did a great job last night. And, you know, hopefully we'll see him. Hopefully he doesn't miss a beat. But, yeah, radiation, you know, if he misses one, you know that it's tough. And it's like you said, he's 69 years old.
Yep.
And, you know, skin cancer, it can be horrible, horrible, horrible. It can also not be horrible, you know, depending on, you know, if they get it early. But the radiation, if he has to undergo radiation, that is a scary one because that's a little bit more severe than a lot of skin cancers.
And finally, Dave, of course, we wish Jim Ross all the best and for a speedy recovery. A lighter note to end things off, or just a real wackadoodle note, is Mike Tyson going to fight Logan Paul?
Man, I don't know.
This is the rumor going around right now. I've seen this splashed all over the place for the past 24 hours.
I will say that it will probably do ridiculous pay-per-view numbers.
You know it will.
And I can, it would probably be up to the finances. And then there's also the bit about the weight, but, you know, they can work around that. He fought Floyd and they didn't have a weight issue. So they'll get it done. It's a fight that, you know, if Logan Paul is willing to take that risk, it's a fight that, that they'll do. And, you know, Mike is old. I mean, but he's not done. I mean, we saw that in his last fight, and he's dangerous. I mean, if I'm a promoter, do I want to do that fight? It's like, there's a part of me that says no, but the reality says yes, big time, because that is a giant money fight.
Yeah, definitely is. All right, well, as that continues on, we follow this weird world. Dave, thanks for doing this week. Observer-wise, hey, I'm surprised you got one out last week. I hope this week at least slows down a little bit.
Yeah, this week will be fine. The week after, we got WWE Investors Call on Thursday, so that's going to be a challenge to go through all those numbers on deadline. But, unless something terrible happens, this week should be busy. I mean, there's Impact. I mean, there's the full range of shows, and there's going to be a lot of news and maneuverings. I mean, Vince, you know, there's just a lot of maneuverings those guys are going to be doing, whatever they are. And there's always too much news for sure now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Dave, thank you for getting that all together for us. And thank you for joining us here today. We'll talk to you next week at the same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Find all of Dave's work at WrestlingObserver.com, of course. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Turnbuckle Trivia. We'll see what our two patrons have absorbed from this very busy week. And then still to come, Dan Lavransky and Bob Kapoor. That is all rounding out tonight's edition of Sunday Night's Main Event.
Can't get no rest. Don't know how I work all day.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is time for Turnbuckle Trivia on Sunday Night's Main Event, so let's get into it. Our two patrons are on the line, rip, roaring, and ready, and perhaps a little tired after this week of wrestling. First of all, we have Paul from Halton Region, though I will not give you any favoritism, Paul, despite the fact that I am your news anchor now. Paul, are you as overwhelmed as everyone seems to be with wrestling nowadays.
Hey, Jason. Yeah, I'm very overwhelmed. There's more is more, as you like to say.
Yeah, more is more. Josh from North Carolina is on the other end of the line here. Josh, what's your priority watching?
AEW is the priority, and yeah. I squeeze in as much WWE as I can after that.
Yeah, I think it's tough, especially this week with the Crown Jewel pay-per-view, which actually had meetings, so I'm not going to complain about it having meeting, but man, oh man, was it tough. I mean, do the wrestling gods not realize we also have lives? We're going to see what you guys watch today, and whoever does better with our headlines and news trivia today, we'll get a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. So let's get into it, gents. Paul, you're player one. Josh, you're player two. Let's go to it. And I'll ease you on into this. Paul, your first question is, who did Xavier Woods defeat to become the King of the Ring?
Finn Balor.
That is a correct answer. Josh, who did Zelina Vega defeat to win the Queen's Crown?
Doudrop.
Doudrop is correct. Okay, 1-1 right now. We started you guys easy. Question two, Paul. Who ended the night as Impact World Champion at Bound for Glory last night?
Moose.
Yes, Paul, he did. Josh, who ended the night as the Knockouts World Champion last night?
Deonna Purrazzo.
Ah, she lost. Josh, yeah. Impact didn't quite make the cut. And Mickie James has returned from that just that dramatic train injury several years ago and managed to recapture the title in Impact. All right, Paul, over to you. During last night's Bryan Danielson versus Dustin Rhodes match, what former WWE talent was shown at ringside?
Tony Nese?
He was at ringside. It was Tony Nese. Very good. Josh, to you. This week, coming up, CM Punk is going to make his in-ring match debut on Dynamite. Who will he face?
Bobby Fish.
That's correct, Josh. Very good. Bobby Fish shows up in AEW and is getting a lot of hot matches. I'm very surprised. All right, Paul, over to you again. In the finals of the G1, well, we're going all over the world with this, what legit injury did Kota Ibushi suffer, which led to the ref stoppage?
Wild guess, but I'll say separated shoulder.
That is the correct answer. That's a wild guess? You went for separated shoulder with a wild guess?
Yeah, just because they always land on their head and neck, I just thought maybe that might be it.
Well, that's one hell of a guess, because that's correct. A dislocated right shoulder. All right, Josh, to you. What is the new name of the Iconics in Impact?
Oh, shoot.
Oh,
I knew it. I don't know it.
You're buzzed out, Josh. The correct answer is, with two eyes, Inspiration is the correct answer there. And with that, we don't even need the fifth question. It's 4-2. Congratulations, Paul from Halton. You've got yourself a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. And Josh, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you in the tournament, as you as well, Paul. Look forward to both of you guys back in the new year. Thanks, boys.
Well, thank you, Jason. Congratulations, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Great game, Josh.
Oh, yeah, the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament is coming. It'll start in the new year. If you want to get in, sign up, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And I do think now, when I do these The Week That Was trivia games, it tends to be the hardest topic because there's so much out there. When we come back, we'll talk about some of The Week That Was with Dan the Mouth Lavransky. He did watch Crown Jewel. I'm curious. You know, Mouth gets criticized all the time for being pretty negative about WWE, but I think it's going to be tough to be negative on Crown Jewel, because this one was a pretty solid show. We'll talk to Mouth about that later in the show. Bob Kapoor will join me as well from Slam Wrestling, because he's that guy that's still watching Impact. We'll talk about all of that. It's coming up Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. You're the meaning in my life.
You're the inspiration. I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins-Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth Loransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the Old Fucks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we're the Old Fucks, tough guy.
When you hear Motorhead on the show, you know who is coming up next. Dan the Mouth Loransky joining me on a Sunday. Mouth, this would have been our pay-per-view week for October, but WWE's not even doing it this year. Instead, they just did Crown Jewel, which, don't get me wrong, I'm happy about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We always say less is more, and especially when it comes to them. So it was fine with me. It looks like we actually get a break in December. As well, they're going to do Survivor Series in November, and then they're not doing one in December.
They're just doing that January 1st show instead. So that's a pay-per-view on Saturday, January the 1st.
Yeah, very, very strange.
Day one. How are you picking and choosing, Loransky? Because I know you and I both get up early, and all of a sudden I'm getting messages at like 5 in the morning that you're watching the G1 at work.
Well, you got to take advantage of these situations, Jay, right? I mean, every once in a while I'll get a little downtime or I can take a break. And yeah, I thought, well, the finals are on this morning. I have to watch it live. So yeah, it was pretty interesting tournament. I mean, we still had some killer matches, but it also got hurt a lot with Naito getting taken out really early in the proceedings. And that kind of screwed up all the bookings of the matches. And then in the main event finish here with Okada and Ibushi in the tournament final, and Ibushi hurting himself there and them having to stop the match. So it was a weird tournament this year for the G1.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, especially with the, you know, your climax right there, and it's the unfortunate injury with the at the climax. So that is a, pardon the pun, saying climax. So there you go. So you're watching things at work, as did I. I'm full on. We'll admit, Mouth, I couldn't do the post show or the after party for Crown Jewel. I was watching this at work as well while I was trying to write news and have Crown Jewel on off to the side.
Oh dear.
But I will say. And I'm guessing that you'll agree, as far as Crown Jewel went, extra importance and best Saudi show that WWE has ever put out.
Yes, absolutely. Best Saudi show by far. Because it was, and also the Saudi shows are basically throwaway shows to us here. They never really have a big play in the story or anything like that. And they're put together a lot of times to appease the Saudis who want to see older stars.
Yeah.
And this was the first one where I felt this was an important show. We had major stuff going down on this show, and we had some great matches on the show. Usually we don't get great matches. This had at least the opening match was killer in the cage. So it was great to see, and I was also really glad to see that it looked to me like it was more like real fans of the product were there,
yes,
rather than this just being a fancy thing for diplomats and wealthy Saudis to go to. If you remember, Jay, the first ones at ringside, they had tables. They had tables and stuff. It was like you're at a cocktail club or something. This felt like a real WWE event. You had fans that were excited. You had signs that were knowledgeable of the product. So I was glad to see that as well.
Yeah, and you had authentic crowd reactions as well, which always does help an event. Now, you mentioned the Hell in a Cell right there. I was surprised that they opened with that, though, weren't you?
Well, I guess a little bit, but not completely, because, A, you do want a strong opening match. And nowadays it's pretty easy. They just lift the cage off the ring, and so it's not like it really slows down the proceedings or anything. But it's a strong feud. I had no problem with it starting. It was kind of the same philosophy you get on Dynamite a lot of weeks, where they'll start with a killer match right out of the gate to get you excited. So I had no problem with it, and I thought it was really good. It was a good strong match, and it was still exciting and captivating without going super outrageous with spots. You know, outside of the spot where Seth got bounced off the cage wall and through the table. They really kept it pretty good, and they came up with some unique spots. And the selling, Edge's selling is just so fantastic, and his facial reactions in the match. I was rewatching the match again, and I was just blown away by his facial reactions and how he reacts to stuff. So I thought it was really good and very dramatic.
Yeah, and now let's just, these guys need to move apart from one another. We're
yes.
done. We're done. Get out of here. No more home invasions with these two.
Yes, that's it. This was the logical finish to the angle, right? Edge gets his revenge on Rollins, and now, yeah, they split apart and move into new programs.
You know, I got to say, one of my favorite moments on this show, though, was actually the Mansoor and Mustafa Ali match. And it was the aftermath of that. Number one, Mansoor going over. This guy does have a lot of charisma. And he is a very good baby face if they just let him do something in North America as well.
Exactly. I was just going to say, let him perform outside of Saudi Arabia, maybe.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought the match was really quite well done. The two guys worked super hard. And like you said, he does have a charisma. He's certainly over there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason you can't transplant some of that to North America. It's just he's been booked so incredibly poorly and been put in really outrageous angles and things. So.
Even what they did with the aftermath, with the karate silver medalist
right.
coming out. I might butcher
right.
his name here, but I believe it was Tareg Hamid, or Hamid. He comes out. I was like, okay, who is this? Who's behind the mask here? But wow, when he took that face guard off, the crowd went insane. And mouth, I don't know if you're aware of this, he won the silver medal at the Olympics, but he was competing for the gold. He got disqualified because of an illegal kick. Which is exactly what he did to Ali. So it was really put together, extremely smart.
Wow. Well, so it'll be very interesting, though. But is this going to be, like, is he coming in?
No, Mouth, that's a one-off. That's a one-off thing, for sure, yeah.
You know, but that's sad though, Jay, because it was put together so well. Like they really actually thought this out and made use of the guy's history. So
sure, but you know, he comes over to North America and he's nothing. I mean, that is an appearance for the sake of an appearance there, and it made him look like a star with the crowd. But you know, that's a one-time thing. I just thought it was well thought out. Which, listen, I'll praise the WWE when they think things out, because 99% of the time they don't.
Yeah, yeah. It was another part of the show, too, that also, like, the spectacle. I thought this one had a real feeling of spectacle and importance to it, and this with stuff like this. And, in some instances, because of stuff like this, it almost came across like WrestleMania-like.
Yeah, well, it's their biggest show of the year. It actually makes more money than WrestleMania.
Yeah, so I mean, but this was the first time I think they approached it like that, Jay.
I see.
Like, it's always been such a throwaway before, right?
Yeah.
This was the first year where, because of stuff like this, you thought, wow, they really put some thought into this show. Like, it's a shame it really couldn't have had a better playtime in North America, because I think a lot of fans that maybe skipped it would have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah, good point. All right, now, throughout this, I don't know if you've been listening to the shows and what I've been saying, but I said that I have now become part of Team Lavransky.
Oh yeah, I totally, yes. I heard you and Mark Andrada on the Monday after Raw rants.
Yep.
Yes, you were talking about Goldberg, and you said you're in my camp now.
I am in your camp, Mouth. I see nothing more for this. This was fine what they did here with Lashley, aside from the very bizarre angle of trying to kill Lashley. But I'm done. I am done. Yeah. This match was fine, though. I got to say what they did here. Like, it's the best you're going to get out of Goldberg.
I suppose, but I honestly, Lashley should have went over. Like, I don't know. I guess, I don't know if it's because it's in Saudi Arabia and they revere Goldberg or whatever, but Lashley should have won the match, though. I wasn't a big fan of that. I mean, Goldberg is done. The tank is empty. He should have lost. He should disappear now. I mean, I guess, I don't know if Goldberg has it in his contract that he can't do the job, or they felt maybe, I guess, because it's the family being threatened storyline. I don't know. But I was upset that that Goldberg won. He should not have won. He should not have won. Lashley should have went over strong.
So, how do you feel about Drew McIntyre losing to Big E? I mean, I think Big E needed that win, but Drew's going over to SmackDown now, and he's going to be one of the next competitors for Roman Reigns.
But that's standard WWE policy. You lose a big match and then you get a title shot. No, but I didn't mind the Big E one with him. I liked that one. I agree with you. Big E, you know, if they're going to take it seriously, and we still don't know if they are, but if you want to push him as a strong champion, he needed that win, absolutely. I thought it was fine. I thought the match was very good as well with those two guys. I thought that was exactly what was needed, but Goldberg needed to get beat here. He's not coming back. He's of no help. Like, this should have been, like, I guess I say this every time, but this should have been it for Goldberg. Like, we never see him again. Bobby Lashley should have been spearing him through the table to win the match, and then that's it. Goldberg, that's it. You're done. You're out of here. And then you can push Lashley even more, because he kind of needs it now.
I'm just going to take account of how many times I try to move away from the subject of Goldberg and how many times you bring me back to it. Yeah.
No, we're done. I'm done.
Okay. King of the Ring and Queen's Crown. We'll start with the King. A spotlight finally being put on Xavier Woods. This is something he's wanted for a long time. I got to be honest. I thought it was going to be the Prince turning into a king and winning here.
I didn't. I kind of got the feeling they were going to go with Woods. I think you have, see, if you did it with Balor, what do you have storyline potential wise? Nothing. But I think you have more storyline potential with Woods as the King of the Ring. And I mean, there's got to be, I would think, some sort of angle you can pull with him and Kofi, where I don't know if Woods is the one who becomes the heel and gets arrogant now that he's King of the Ring.
I knew you were going to say that. And you know that's what WWE is thinking right now, where all of a sudden it's going to go to his head and they're going to do a separation here. And I don't know, do you need that? Do you want that?
I think that as much as I love the New Day, Jay, it's done. I think you already got Big E off on his own. So I'm thinking there's no reason really to keep this together. I think, you know, all three of them could kind of benefit to be on their own now. So I certainly see something with him and Kofi. I really do, especially since Kofi's been kind of anchored to him this whole time. He's been going through the tournament. He's out there with them. He's, you know, on the, I think it was the Raw or the SmackDown before, he helped him put the cape on him and all this kind of stuff.
And James so Brown did.
Yes, that's right. They did the James Brown spot. That was
on
so
Monday.
Cool.
Yep.
Yes, I love that. We put the cape back on him like James Brown. That was great. But I see something happening there. And I honestly, I think it. The two of them could have a good feud. I really do think so. And really, honestly, the New Day, they've had more than a good run, Jay. Like, really, come on.
All right. I'll just throw a couple things in here, and then we'll move on to the Queen's Crown. First of all, WWE doesn't have a great reputation of doing breakups of tag
That's
teams
true.
And then feuds. And,
well, remember the Hardy Boys is the one I always think of. They broke up and they had a weak feud, I think, or something.
There's a lot of them. And I think as far as New Day goes, especially with Xavier and Kofi, I think the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And I think that they'd struggle.
Yeah. Hmm. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, could be. I mean, it depends on how they're booked too, right?
Queen of the Ring, I mean, here is an entire tournament that took 20 minutes for each and every match to take place in. I'm talking about cumulatively 20 minutes for all of the matches.
Yeah,
absolutely crazy. You know, Zelina Vega's got it. She can talk. I guess I'm happier with her having it here rather than Doudrop, because Doudrop would have just been made fun of, which seems to be their MO with her. I kind of wanted Shayna to have this thing to be Queen of Spades, Queen's Crown, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, I don't think it matters at all.
No.
For anyone.
I don't think it does either. I think because mostly of who was in the tournament as well, like most of the women that should be in a tournament for a women's title weren't in the tournament.
Yeah.
So that to me, that takes it down right away from the very beginning. And when I heard the final is Zelina Vega and Doudrop, I'm like severely underwhelmed. I'm just like, really? That's it? And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Zelina. I guess she can talk, but she's horrendous in the ring. And I mean, we can give it. I haven't really liked her return at all. I hate it when someone like that comes back and then just gets pushed to the moon right out of the gate without any justification. Like, you know, it's different when, you know, Bryan Danielson goes to AEW and they push him to the moon right away. There's a reason. That's justified. Stuff like this, it's just not justified. And But you're right. I don't know if Doudrop winning would have been any better either.
No.
She's a total joke character. I feel bad for her at this point. She tries her best with what they give her, but it's just such a horrendous character. So, yeah. Yeah, who knows? It certainly doesn't mean anything in the big picture, that's for sure.
And we'll end things off here before we go with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. This is really just the Paul Heyman angle. you know, crappy finish on this, but I think they made up for it on SmackDown the next day, which was pretty fantastic and a way to get Brock out of the mix right now until Royal Rumble, probably. And then
Yes. This
is going to take us, this is going to be WrestleMania this year, these two guys again. Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like. They're going to let Brock have a little bit of a break now. But yeah, they'll bring him back into the mix just in time. Roman will go through a couple other guys before Brock comes back in the Rumble or something like that. And that it does. I mean, they can't do anything with Rock. So that does look like where they're going. The match itself, I thought, was pretty good. I mean, I really loved the throw the belt in between the two of them.
Yep.
I thought that was great. And Heyman, God bless him, because so many people try to throw things in the ring and don't get it in the right place. He hit it right on the mark. It was great. The look on his face was amazing. You know what to do with it. And that, I mean, I am getting tired, though, of the Usos coming in all the time at the end. And like, I'm like, oh, again, the Usos run out, please. Like, I'm really getting tired of that finish. I would have preferred something along the lines of, you know, the two of them struggle over the belt, and I don't know if Roman finally gets it and corks them or whatever. I love how the belt has this magical property that it's just so intense. It doesn't matter who gets hit with it, they're knocked out cold.
It's the magic of the belt. It's always been that way.
It is. Yeah, exactly. It's always been that way. So, but I love that. And yeah, I liked what they did on SmackDown as well. I mean, for me, the whole thing has been But Heyman has just been so fantastic, and this whole idea of is he with Brock, is he with Roman, and now they did a fairly cool way to keep it going on without us shaking our heads and going, oh God, this is too long. It's like, wow, okay, you know what, you've still got me. I'm still intrigued as to where you're going to go next.
Which is what they need to do, and rarely do that, but this angle is doing very well. It's for sure the best angle in WWE of this year. All right, Mouth, listen, we could get into AEW here, but I know you've already talked about it. Yourself and Joe Aguinaldo have been extremely busy covering AEW, Dynamite, and Rampage, which have been back-to-back days for the past few weeks. So with that in mind, if you guys want to hear Lavransky review those shows with Joe Aguinaldo, check them out, patreon.com/SNMEradio. All Elite Weekly is on every week, twice a week, a lot of the time, because there's so much AEW product. So there'll be mostly no complaining there. A lot of positive reviews, I'm guessing, for the past couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are things here and there, right, that get into our craw in that. But overall, I mean, again, last night's Dynamite was a pretty spectacular show. And I mean, they're giving you matches like Bryan Danielson against Minoru Suzuki, for God's sake. Like, matches I never even thought might ever happen ever. And so, yeah, it's been pretty fantastic, and it's still pretty strong.
Well, the next time you and me will connect is a few weeks from now. It's going to be the Survivor Series card, which,
right. You
know, as it's funny, as meaningful as Crown Jewel was storyline-wise, Survivor Series Mouth is probably going to be the exact opposite, because it's this brand versus brand garbage,
and
it becomes like a one-off. It essentially becomes a bunch
filler.
Of exhibition filler matches.
It's filler. Yeah, it's very much become a filler show, unfortunately. And when they, again, can you think about your timing here? You just did a draft where you mixed up all the brands and stuff. Now you're going to have brand versus brand. I don't know. It's unfocused. It doesn't mean anything. It's funny that we're sitting here talking about how important Crown Jewel was, and Survivor Series is probably going to mean nothing.
Yep, probably. All right, Mouth, thanks for doing this today. Appreciate it, and keep on keeping on with AEW.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much. I'm going to head outside now and enjoy me a Great Lakes beverage.
The man makes good sense, as you should be doing as well. Check out our pals, greatlakesbeer.com. The new Shinny Pants is coming out, which is their stout beer that is great in the winter. Oh, and their pumpkin beer is the best of the lot. Anyhow, I could talk for hours about Great Lakes, but instead I will talk for hours about wrestling, or at least a few more minutes here tonight when I welcome on Bob Kapoor from Slam Wrestling, because Impact did have Bound for Glory last night, and Bob watched it. Was he the only one? There were very few, but there were a few things that happened. We'll talk about it next. Bob Kapoor, right here on Sunday night's Main Event.
You are a bold and courageous person. West of the Humber River, there stands a brewery. Workers toil constantly there both day and night. Some say the place is haunted, but you don't believe in such myths. One dark and stormy night, a light appears at the topmost window of the brewery's fermentation cellar. You decide to investigate, only to find a bubbling copper cauldron filled with a tasty pumpkin concoction. You know not whether to share this secret or keep it to yourself. And then you discover it's bound throughout Ontario at LCBO locations in Tall Boy cans for just $3.25. Although the mystery is no longer a mystery, this trick is most certainly all treat. Pumpkin ale from Great Lakes Brewery, the safest and most delicious way to celebrate Halloween.
Welcome back. Final bit of Sunday night's main event. And listen, you know, Impact Wrestling actually had a pay-per-view last night. Technically, it is their biggest of the year. It's Bound for Glory. And when we talk Impact on this show, we look over to Slam Wrestling and our pal, Bob Kapoor. How you doing, Bob?
Jason, thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, listen, Bob, I know you watched this show, and I got to say, you had to be one of the few, and that's not me beating down on Impact. I really think it was unfortunate in the fact that Impact runs a show last night, and AEW Dynamite gets bounced to a Saturday, and that is not what they needed, especially, Bob, because, you know, they were supposed to be headlining this thing with Christian Cage, which would pull over from the AEW fan base, and I know they didn't go head-to-head as far as time-wise, but same night. Do people really want this after watching Dynamite?
You know, I used to work for a company, it was a bank, and we were called the bank that was most likely to run into sharp objects. And sometimes it feels like Impact is that same company. You know, they have some of these Impact Plus specials that are on the night of, you know, the same weekend as a pay-per-view or on the night of a UFC event. And now you have this kind of thing where, you know, they book a pay-per-view, their biggest, the night they go, you know, again, as you said, against AEW, not competing. But after 2 hours of that, are people really going to want to watch another 3 hour pay-per-view? And it's just, it's unfortunate because, you know, Impact always seems like the redhead stepchild.
Yeah, also you got to consider that it's a substantial downgrade from seeing an audience of people watching AEW, and then you come to Impact with Bound for Glory, which is supposed to be their biggest show, and you know that show did not look good last night coming out of Sam's Place.
Well, you know, it's better than what they have at in Nashville at Skyway Studios, just because they had that, you know, the bleachers and they were full. I don't think it was particularly lit pretty well, the room to see the crowd, but yeah, it is certainly when you're seeing live crowds in other shows and you see the size of the Impact one, it's a bit underwhelming.
So the main event last night was, let's bring it close to home, Bob, because it's Bolton's own Josh Alexander versus Kitchener's own Christian Cage for the Impact title. I mean, you know, you being someone who lives in this neighborhood, this had to be a bit of an exciting match for you.
I was really looking forward to this. You know, I've known Josh Alexander since his first days of wrestling and have followed his career, and you know, really happy with the success that he's had because he's earned it and he's had a long journey. Same with Christian, right? Not to his in his infancy, but I saw him in his early, you know, local wrestling career, and to see where those two have gone and is amazing. And I was really looking forward to this match, you know, Ontario Strong type thing. And I thought the match really delivered, right? I think they had a perfect storm. They had a great storyline in the, you know, the bringing back the title from the AEW invaders. They had Josh's ascent in the company to, you know, what all the great year that he's had in the ring and with the storyline. And then they put on what I thought was a really, really good, strong match. I thought it was fantastic.
But, well, Bob.
Yeah. Well, so Jason, you won't appreciate this analogy. You know, when you're eating a plate of delicious chocolate chip cookies and you're just savoring them because they're incredible. And then you get to the last one and you're expecting more of the same. And then you bite into a dreadful oatmeal raisin cookie.
Get out of here. Don't you do that to me. Don't you do that. I always meant, for those of you who aren't in the know, I talk about oatmeal raisin cookies and how much I love them on Sunday morning trivia because I like old man cookies, essentially. Get out of here. So listen, your point being, you have this great match between these two guys, and then Moose decides to cash in from earlier winning the 20-man Call Your Shot gauntlet. Now this is something that I guess would be considered exciting, and Moose is someone that has been with the company a long time as well, but I'm guessing you didn't like this considering Josh Alexander really hasn't had his time. Arguably, Bob, this would have been better if Christian kept it and then Moose took it off Christian.
100%. It would have made sense in the storyline. You blew up really a perfect moment. You had Josh win. You had his family in the ring. They were all celebrating. The crowd was really into it. And the crowd was up and down throughout the night, but they really were happy for the ending. And then Moose just came in, and with it, you know, less than a minute, it was just one move, a spear. And I know they tried to position it that, well, Josh was protecting his family and, you know, he wasn't prepared, but it just came off, like I said, a bad taste in your mouth and not really a good ending. And I think you've lost the potential for some really good, fresh matchups with Josh and other contenders. And now you're going to see Moose, who has already beaten a lot of the, you know, main players already. So it's a step backwards.
Well, you want to talk about a step backwards. I mean, you also saw that in the women's division, Deonna Purrazzo losing to Mickey James. This is Mickey James, her third reign with the Knockouts title. The only thing I'll give her is the fact that she's really made a great comeback after being hit by that train a while back.
she's like a superwoman. I love Deonna Purrazzo. I think she's had been a highlight of any female wrestler in terms of her performances this year. This to me wasn't the strongest match. I don't know if that was just chemistry. I think at one point they got lost in what they were trying to do or what they had planned. It wasn't as bad as, you know, Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax some weeks ago, but they just seemed to have a breakdown at some point, and I think that hurt the match. And in terms of Mickey winning, I'm not a big fan of that. I think, you know, for a nostalgia pop, it's fine, but not beating Deonna, certainly, who's had a great run and should have a longer run, I think, with the title. And Mickey, again, she's another person who doesn't work for the company. She works for another company. So it's back to, well, the title holder is not going to be full-time. So does that make a lot of sense?
Well, now I guess Mickey can hold on to that title until Impact breaks up the former Iconics and now Inspiration. Bob, I say that because they make their way into the company. I've heard this match was incredibly questionable that they had versus Decay, but they're not known for their in-ring work. They're known for their mic skills. But this, to me, is the same scenario as Paige winning the title on her first night in, Gail Kim winning her first night in WWE. You give a new tag team the title, new performers the title on their first night. Where do you go now?
Yeah, well, I think the difference, though, is when Paige and Gail Kim came in, the people weren't necessarily familiar with them. Certainly with Gail, because, you know, they really, you know, unless you were really hardcore following the developmental company, you didn't know necessarily who Gail was, so that was a bigger surprise. Paige, if you followed her in the developmental, and I think more people did, it wasn't
NXT.
A surprise.
Yeah.
But Iconics, the Inspiration, they have a built-in fan following. There was a lot of buzz for them to come in, and everyone was expecting them to win, so I don't have a problem with that. And I think if you're going to bring someone in who's coming in at that sort of hype level, and you're going to put them in a title match, you put the title on them. Because otherwise, people feel like, well, they made this big loud noise and then they've sputtered and fizzled and they're already written off as, well, the company doesn't believe in them or isn't going to give them a push, and it frustrates fans.
I'll give you that, but now what do you do? I mean, now the first temptation is to break them up, is it not?
I don't think so. I think that people want to see them as a pair, and I think the company knows that the better money, frankly, is with them as a duo. And now you have a chance to, you know, start highlighting some of the other teams. Impact does have a, you know, other than Decay, there's Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. There's Rachel Ellering and Jordan Grace. So they do have a tag team division in the, you know, for the knockouts. So I think you'll get to see some of those matches and those feuds play out.
Okay, well, before we go, I do want to ask you, though, Bob, watching this, there had been a whole bunch of rumors coming up to this show that we might see Buddy Murphy or Braun Strowman, of course, under a different name. And we don't know what happened, but you sitting there watching, were you disappointed that you didn't get either of these surprises?
I was disappointed. I was hoping that at least one of them would show up during the Gauntlet Battle Royal and a Call Your Shot match. I think if they... Either maybe they didn't come to terms with either of them, or maybe they did and they just didn't include this night. In hindsight, if the plan was always to have Moose win the title at the end of the night, then it makes sense to not bring them in for that that Gauntlet match, because you'd expect that if Adam Scherer, I think he'll probably go by Titan. If he was coming in, you'd expect him to win. So obviously, if Moose was the plan all along, then you didn't really want to bring him in for that match. But we'll see. You know, time will tell. Maybe over the next few weeks, they'll make their debuts. Who knows?
Bob, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Much appreciated. Of course, people can find you on slamwrestling.net, and you're doing weekly. Now, you do weekly Impact coverage there, right?
Yes, I do the weekly TV shows. I do the Impact Plus specials and obviously the pay-per-views.
Bob Kapoor, glutton for punishment, everybody. Thanks very much, Bob.
Thanks, Jason. Talk to you soon.
And actually, that does it for us as well tonight. We got to say goodbye. Hey, if you're listening on terrestrial radio, we are here each and every week at Sunday Night's Main Event. You can check us out at sundaynightsmainevent.com. How about that? But if you want wrestling in your podcast inbox each and every day, then join us at patreon.com/SNMEradio. All the reviews are there for you in podcast form. Got to say goodbye for this week. We'll talk to you next week right here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Don't you dare miss it.